Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. We've Breda Fitzgerald on the line, Claire Mahoney, Marie, and a group of other parents as well. All have one thing in common. I think they were overjoyed when they heard the announcement. Was it last Wednesday that, among other things, special needs classes would reopen on Monday? Now that's gone, as you know, cancelled yesterday evening. Breda Fitzgerald, Breda, what's your situation, please?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on, and thank you for giving time to this topic today. We're the parents of nine-year-old twins, Annie and MacDara. They both have autism, they both have intellectual disabilities, and they're both non-verbal. Mm-hmm. And they attend a special school here in Limerick.
And is it a separate special school or an integrated special
it's
school?
It's a special, dedicated special school, Joe.
So, first of all, your reaction when you were told that it would reopen on Monday?
I guess relief was probably our first feeling. And I really did feel a little bit of pride or a little bit of comfort, I guess, that for once, maybe, that our children with additional needs and autism were being prioritised. You know, they're never prioritised, Joe. And it was a lovely feeling to think that our government and society in general recognised the enormous negative impact, you know, the closure of schools and all their services and all their scaffoldings and supports have had on them since March.
And what's your understanding of why the school will not now open on Monday?
I guess I'm no expert. I guess there was concerns around health and safety for staff and so forth. And I suppose, Joe, that's a very political posturing space that I'm not really interested in getting involved in, other than to say that our own school ran a really impressive system since September around podding. All the kids stayed in their pods. They, as parents, we fundraised €7,000 last summer, so all the pods got individual playgrounds. And the school was really, really, really brilliant and successful in keeping our children safe and attending school every day.
And that's in Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, statement yesterday evening. I'll just deal with the issue. She raises two issues. One, leaving CERT students. They were due back on Monday. And special needs. She says, I'm very cognizant of the impact of the last lockdown had on children with special needs and their families. It was with the best of good faith that I did believe, and I continue to believe, that children with additional challenges, children with complex needs, that particular emphasis should be placed on their needs in the midst of a pandemic. It is a very safe environment, confirmed by public health. She added, I engaged extensively with the education partners right throughout the process. I did, as I say, engage. I'm jumping ahead now. I put the option on the table of January the 11th, next Monday. Unfortunately, that was not agreed to by the partners in education. Now, where the any parents of autistic of children who have autism, were you consulted through any forum? Do you know?
No, I wasn't. Presume that they went to the official advocacy groups, etc. And I guess it is important, Joe, to outline that a lot of parents didn't want their children to go back to school, and I completely understand that. But I felt that, and I feel that, you know, each household, I guess, based on our family circumstances, on our extended family age groups, etc., would have to make that decision.
And you're saying the option should have been there.
I feel the option should have been there.
With us, Breda. I just want to, there's so many people on this, because I was led to believe, listening to the radio earlier this morning, that all parents of children with autism were in favour of this. But as you say, every family is different. And what about, why nobody was being forced back to school? on no students were being forced back to, or pupils forced back to school on Monday, but the option was there. And there's the reasons why the minister outlined them because of the impact. Claire Mahoney. Claire, good afternoon. What's your situation, please, Claire?
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. Many thanks again for airing this issue. It's appreciated. Well, my situation is similar there to your last caller. I have an 8-year-old son with autism and complex needs. He's 8 today, in fact. And
happy birthday to him.
Oh, thank you. Amen. And, you know, every birthday you're thinking of the milestones and the things that your child is achieving. And, you know, it's... I don't think that the government understands the devastation of denying these children in education. It isn't about sitting exams, or it isn't about, you know, academics in the true sense of the word. It's about life skills for these children. I know since last March, all of their services have been cut. Their occupational therapy, their speech therapy. So for them, school is absolutely everything, and everything that they need is within school. So, you know, many of our children will probably, unfortunately, never get the opportunity to sit a leaving certificate, unfortunately. They'll never have that luxury.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not simply about, you know, academics. It's about so much more than that. It's about, you know, denying them skills that they need to learn to survive in this life.
And what was what was your reaction, Claire, when you heard, because parents like yourself and Breda and Marie and Patrick and the other people that are contacting the programme, you have been very vocal in the the 9 months. So your reaction when you heard that special needs classes would reopen as well on Monday as leaving cert classes?
Well, I was absolutely thrilled when I watched the announcement. I actually got quite emotional thinking, well, my God, at least they're not being forgotten as per usual, or they're not the bottom of the totem pole. So I was absolutely thrilled and more than happy to send my child back to school. I feel it is a safe environment. I know that certainly in our school, they were willing to do maybe 3 or 4 hours per day, because obviously some of the teachers didn't consent maybe to going back due to whatever reasons they had.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they were going to be getting some normality, some, you know, set of routine, which is everything for them, because you can't explain to a child who has no speech or limited capacity to understand that you're not going back to school. You know, Zoom doesn't work for them, or remote learning. It's not even a possibility. A normal neurotypical child, you know, can learn lots of other skills, or you can teach them and homeschool them as best as your ability. But for our children and children with special needs, that is just not an option for them. You know, they won't sit in front of an iPad or a computer and not expect to see their favourite programme looking back at them.
When you heard yesterday evening... Mm-hmm. that it was gone.
I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. Devastated for my son, and devastated for all of the other parents with children with special needs that maybe don't have access, or, you know, they mightn't have access even to a garden. They might be living in an apartment somewhere. They don't have access maybe to money to pay for the things that the children need, or, you know. I was devastated. I just couldn't believe that, you know, that once again, you know, that they're being left to suffer. And I don't know why the government, you know, I don't believe they consulted unions. I don't know if they did or didn't, but I don't believe
the union,
did.
Well, the ASTI and the TUI, according to the RT News yesterday evening, there was their decision. They get, credit's the wrong word. I hope it's the wrong word. Mm. They get credit for making sure, overturning the government decision, basically.
Yes, yeah. But I feel, to be fair, I feel the teachers are probably being made scapegoats of in this situation, because I think had they have been consulted as a whole with any change in anything, they should be all consulted. It's easy for someone to say, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. But then they, you know, they know that there's lots of moving pieces within that. And so everybody should be consulted. I mean, I know personally other parents of children with special needs, they were absolutely delighted that school was going to resume. I didn't personally speak to another parent who was saying that they felt it was unsafe. They absolutely feel that it is a safe environment for them.
But again, to Breeda's point is, okay, some parents, as we were told on the RT News this morning, now I probably misread it. I was of the belief that this was some parents' organisation that had said this was a good decision. But some parents of children who have autism obviously do not want to send it. But there's no one being forced. It was an option.
Absolutely.
Okay. Stay there, Claire. Marie, yes. Marie, what's your situation, please?
Hi, Joe. Yeah. Well, my situation is I have a teenager with special needs, autism, ADHD, and an intellectual disability, and who presents with very challenging behaviours. When we found out that the schools were not going to open, that was his lifeline and our lifeline just gone. Yeah. I mean, we just got through Christmas by our fingernails, and that was coming off the back of the last lockdown. And just to think now that there's nothing, my child has to get up and get out and go somewhere. And for them not to have the school now and nowhere to go, we're back to the challenging behaviours all day, every day. And destruction. Destruction. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest with you. He needs round-the-clock care for a start, assistance with everything. Anything that he had learnt at school, he's regressed now. So I'm back to even spoon-feeding him now again. He's developed an obsession with me completely, where he'll only allow me to do things for him, and he has to have my attention all day, every day. If I so much as look at anybody else in the house, something is thrown or broken or just chaos from morning till night. And then there's the shouting and the calling. It's constant as well. So I can't even finish a thought that forms in my brain, because it's constantly interrupted. And I have other kids in the house as well that need my attention. So just to get from one day to the next, it's nearly impossible.
And your reaction, same question, your reaction when you heard that special needs classes would reopen, which people understand the debate about Leaving Cert, and I always expected it to be up there because of our obsession with the Leaving Cert. Everyone expected if there was going to be an exemption, it would be Leaving Cert. But some people were surprised, and I think it's mainly due to the campaigning by families, that special needs classes were to be reopened as well. What was your reaction when you heard that news?
It was utter relief, and that's all I can say. It was just pure and utter relief. I just thought to myself, great, we just have to get through another few days and then some structure and routine will come back. So when I heard that, they weren't just fear just consumed me, because I'm sometimes more frightened of my own living situation than of the virus itself now at this point. It's that intense. And we all are living in such a state of high alert every day here that it's hard to function.
And as you say, your boy is 13. He was due to go back on Monday, but you say, what was the phrase you used? You got through Christmas by the skin of your teeth or whatever.
Hanging
on by your fingernails. What do you mean by that, Marie?
I mean, just the day starts, for example, let's say 5:36 every morning with screaming and banging. The first thing I'm faced with is feces all over the walls, which I can't even tackle at that point because I have to keep my eyes. I'm always on guard. I have to keep my eyes on the other kids, because I have to watch him the whole time. So, you know, he gets his shower and his bath and medication. And then when he's had his breakfast, he's looking to go to school. I mean, he doesn't even understand it when it's a weekend, never mind a lockdown or Christmas holidays or a lockdown. Then that's when we start driving, circling the roads. We start driving around and around, and then there's nowhere to go. We used to be able to bring him for walks, which he loved. But now he won't, even in -3 degree weather, he'll take his clothes off when you're out. So you're frantic trying to get back to the car. You always have to be aware of your surroundings or who's there or how close you are to the car in case anything unpredictable happens. And this happens all the time now. And often when you get back into the car, he might slip again in the car. So you're always alert and watching him and trying to drive and get back. And then when you get back, there's nowhere to go again, so the whole vicious cycle starts again. So, you know, there's things you can't leave down a drink. It's knocked over. You have to watch your other kids where their drinks. You have to be on alert at all times, watching everything, because everything is tipped over or, you know, thrown. And it's not his fault. It's because he's so frustrated and he's lost. And any abilities that he had, you know, to do little things independently that he loved, like threading beads and jigsaw puzzles, he can't even do that now. He can't sit long enough to do it. You know, he'll get so frustrated. Even if I'm sitting shoulder to shoulder with him, he'll, you know, rip up the pieces of the puzzle and he'll get upset that he's done that. And then he'll move on to something else. And trying to cook a dinner is like, you need, it's like a military operation, you know, always having to watch everything and guard everything and referee all the time. It's impossible to do it to this severity for this long. And, you know, the fact that he hasn't even recovered, because his routine was never really re-established. When they did go back to school, a lot of the times they were out more than they were in because of someone being identified as a contact or somebody beside them had a cough, then out of all the services again. And now to think there's no school on Monday, I'm just at my wit's end. I just don't know. Like, some provisions have to be made. Okay, something has to be done.
Stay with us, Maria. I promise I'll come back to everybody as soon as I give as many people as possible that the lines will allow a voice to begin with. Patrick Mulligan is in Kildare. Patrick, good afternoon. What's your situation, your reaction when you heard the news that the special needs classes would be open? People would not be forced to go back, but if they wish to send their children back on Monday, they could. Reaction when you heard that news, and then the reaction last night when it looks like the government caved in to the unions.
Well, it was wonderful, Joe. It was really great to see. For once, as I think some of your other callers had said, we felt like our children were being heard, that their needs were being understood, and the government were making the right decision to help these kids out and get them back to school where they need to be. Last night when it was overturned, I was shocked, because I initially yesterday, we had very little voice. It was all about the Leave Insert. Yeah, all the narrative was around the Leave Insert, the Leave Insert students. Very little was said in relation to special schools and children with special needs. Yeah. And then even when the news broke that the schools were going to be closed, it was kind of only muted to the fact that, well, we're also closing the special needs schools too. That only came out after the big announcement was that the Leave Insert students won't be going back to school. Yeah. And by the way, the special needs kids won't be going back either.
The afterthought.
Yeah, it's not. It's not something they want to be seen to be doing. I mean, fair play to the minister and to the government. They tried to do something. They tried to do something for the special needs. I'd like to hear from Sinn Féin and the other opposition parties that came out and called for the schools to be closed. Do they not support these kids with special needs? Do they not feel that these kids need schooling? Remote learning doesn't work for these kids. It does not work. No. There's an alternative for the Leave Insert students. There is no alternative for these kids with special needs. In England, Scotland and Northern Ireland, despite the huge COVID numbers that they have all kept their schools open for children with special needs. Okay. So why can't we do it here? Why can't we do it here? We were asking the teachers and the SNAs to man up for a couple of extra weeks and do what's needed to be done for the most vulnerable children in the educational system.
Now, in fairness to the, and I know all of you, given the situation you're in, are extraordinarily fair and appreciative of the work of individual teachers and principals in schools. But I remember before Christmas when trade union made a proposal that schools should close early for the Christmas holidays. The majority of calls, that idea was completely subsequently knocked on the head, but the majority of calls we had that day were from members of teacher unions saying, we don't agree with this. We don't. They are not speaking on our behalf.
Well, if they are being misrepresented in this situation by their union, then they need to contact their unions and they need to say, look, we feel this is the wrong decision. We feel that we're ready to support these children and their families, and we're happy to go back. The CMO last night said that in relative terms, schools are a safe environment. That his major concern was around the movement of 1 million people around the whole school situation.
And that's why they said there's between, well, up to 80,000 Leaving Cert students spread out over the country. That would be the understanding. Now, it's unclear from the minister what the exact advice was from NEFID. But if the government had said yesterday evening, okay, we're putting the Leaving Cert 3 day a week scenario on hold until the end of the month, but we will proceed with special needs classes.
Yeah. Well, I think that would have been the right decision, Joe, because if you look at it, in comparison, there's an alternative for the Leaving Cert students. Those students can work remotely. They can. It's not ideal, I accept that, but they can work remotely. For these kids, there is no remote working. There just isn't. What, you get one email a day, do this with your child, that's it. I have two children with autism. They came out of school last March, and we got nothing. Nothing through till the odd email here and there, the odd touch base with the teachers, through till September. That's nothing. That's half their school year lost that they're not getting back. That's not going to be made up. And now they're out of school now. Even if they go back on the 1st of February, but the 18th of February we're into a midterm, they're back out of school again.
Yeah.
I mean, will the teachers even talk about making up time? I heard, I don't know about the primary school teachers, but I heard a principal from the school that said they weren't going to open this in the secondary schools.
Alexander College, yeah.
On another radio station this morning, she was being interviewed, and it was put to her by one a caller in that, why won't you make up, why don't you just close now or make up this time in the summer? And she said, no, we don't want to give up our holidays in the summer because we're doing remote working now. Well, for these children, they're not getting remote working. So can we talk about extra time in the summer for these kids to make up the lost skills and times that they have? And yes, there is a July provision or the summer programme, as the previous minister liked to call it last year. That's just July provision. And then it's an option. Not every school can do. Not every school will offer July provision.
Okay. Stay with us, Patrick, as indeed Breda and Claire and Marie are. And I want to take a quick break, and then I want to talk to more parents, Shire O'Brady and Jodie O'Neill. 51551, watch on.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Shire O'Brady, we're listening to parents of children with autism or different or special needs is the best way of putting it. And they were, as listeners to this programme would know, right from the get-go, they were, I think, the one group, and I've said it so many times, that were so badly affected, grievously affected by the lockdown, given the nature of the situation that their children are in. And they were overjoyed to hear that the exemptions on this coming Monday were Leaving Cert, which, as you know, is the obsession in this country, Leaving Cert students, and then special needs were mentioned. And you heard the reaction of all the parents before the break, how overjoyed. And then last night, the government announced that they were postponing Monday's opening, not just for 3 days a week for the 1/6 of the second level students who are doing their Leaving Cert, but also, almost as an afterthought, it seemed, for special needs classes as well. Shire, what's your situation, please? Shire Brady.
Yeah, so, Joe, I have two children with special needs. I have a child with autism, and then I have a child with Down syndrome as well. So I guess when we heard that the special classes were opening again, I was very happy for my daughter. At least she was going to go back to school and we'd have some structure in place. We could maybe get her sleeping back on track. And I suppose to put a positive spin on it, I was thinking, well, at least we can give more attention to Rian, our son with Down syndrome, because it's all consuming with him and with both of them, to be honest with you. But I just found it incredible that the children with special needs in mainstream were completely disregarded in this plan. So there are thousands of children with special needs in mainstream, like Rian, who weren't even included in the plan. So, I mean, that's just something to consider as well. So I suppose my concern is, if this is to continue for several weeks, I can only base my projections on what happened in the last lockdown.
Okay, tell us.
And in the last lockdown, both children regressed significantly. We had toileting problems, sleep problems, behaviour problems, language problems. I mean, just even from a toileting point of view, like I was, please excuse me, mopping up accidents or urine from one end of the day to the other. My daughter's sleep patterns went out of kilter completely. We had problems getting my other child to sleep. She might wake him up at night. My son with Down syndrome acted out significantly simply because he didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. He really, really needs structure. He would have engaged in a lot of dangerous behaviour just for attention, just to seek attention. And my daughter was having numerous meltdowns as well. And by the end of the lockdown, the last time, she hardly used her words at all. I mean, we'd always insist that she uses her words to ask for anything. But she was using no spontaneous language by the end of the last lockdown period. So I'd have grave concerns about the regression now again. And I suppose my question is, you know, given the fact that we knew that when the restrictions were lifted, numbers were going to increase, it would make sense to me to come together with these stakeholders and discuss contingency plans well before we need to firefight and to make these plans in a hurry. You know, look at the vulnerable in these educational settings and say, right, if these numbers increase and we're not necessarily able to open the schools for everybody, what are we going to do for the vulnerable?
Yeah.
And so these decisions have been made, you know, without much, planning.
But the minister's statement said, I listened, and she's saying I was forced into this position of abandoning the special needs classes and leaving here from Monday. I put that option on the table. Unfortunately, that was not agreed by the partners in education. Now, I presume partner, she means union. She doesn't mean parents or students.
Yeah, I couldn't answer that now, to be honest.
Well, were you consulted, Shira, in any form or any forum?
No, I wasn't consulted. No, not
I want to go. Want to go to Alice. Stay there. I promise I go, because I want a lot of the parents want to talk about the difference that the last lockdown made in terms of regression, and then the difference. I know it was a limited reopening and there was disruption because of COVID from September. The positivity of that structure, at least, being trying to be rebuilt from last September, and now being told that architrave has gone again. Alice, good afternoon.
Hi.
What's your situation?
I guess, luckily for us, our son has Down syndrome, but he is very well adjusted.
Okay.
But what happened in the last lockdown was, that was April, May, June, that we had to do the remote learning. And I want to say first, I completely understand why people would be anxious about any school opening.
Yeah, yeah.
And if the schools have to close, it's about the solution that they're coming up with is what I find really upsetting and worrying. We're back to remote learning again.
Mm-hmm.
And the Department of Education said themselves that children regressed in the last lockdown. And with the best will in the world, it is really difficult to teach your child when you're not a trained teacher. And more importantly as well, when you have a child with special needs, you spend all your time, you are the therapist when they're born. And for the first maybe 5 years of your life, mm-hmm. you're the therapist. So school for me was where I could step back and now be his mother again and not have to be his therapist. And then suddenly in April, I was back to having to homeschool him. And also I work for myself. So I ended up in the first lockdown working a 7-day week because I had to work around my son and go through what he had to do. And as well as that, then it's been closed all through the summer. And my son, so in essence, has had nobody since March other than his family. Now, for the first time ever, we did get the July provision, which was brilliant. But again, that wasn't done in the school. So for us, it meant 40 hours with a wonderful SNA. Mm-hmm. And he would do some hours with my son, which is brilliant. But that's been it. And I don't know if people who don't have kids with special needs know that school is not just about, say, education. It's about, like, they go to school to learn life skills, to adapt to living with other people, to learn structure and routine. And you need someone else sometimes to not be the parent to kind of help with that, to work on that. So when all that is taken away and you go back to remote learning, a lot of that is lost. Also in terms of friendships, a typical child, if the weather is fine, can go out maybe on the street with his bike and meet up with his friends. Kids with special needs, their only friends are the children in the classroom. And every time we've holidays, my son doesn't really see anybody else because he's not able to go outside and play by himself. And he doesn't even know how to play. So all through the last lockdown, I would bring my son for a walk to the park every day. He'll watch the other kids play, but he doesn't know how to play with them. So when you stop school, you're not talking about teaching them how to read, write, math, though that is very important. he is losing out on a chunk of his world. So his world has gotten smaller. So imagine now, he gets up every day. He's looking to us. He's looking to us to fill his day, to occupy him. So we spend our day trying to manage time on TV. We have timers for everything. We bring him for walks. We try and do loads of Lego. We do everything we possibly can to try and, you know, not have the TV on for his sake. But this, we are his world now, and he stopped even asking about his activities. He doesn't even ask anymore when are his activities going to resume, because it's like his world now is just us. So I guess I found it really upsetting last night, because if you remote teach, and I don't blame the teachers, by the way, because I understand that if a teacher has children themselves, they can't go and teach, they can't go into school if no one's there to mind their children. So I'm not sure this is all very well taught true in the first place. But what I would have asked for from the INTO was, why can't you decide that if we're going to close, treat some of it as holiday time, and then when the numbers drop, then say, okay, we're going to shorten the midterm breaks or the school holidays, because no one would ask somebody to teach remotely and then also give up of their holidays. But as far as I know, the INTO have only offered 3 days so far, which is, now bear in mind, since March it's been remote learning. April, May, June was all remote. And there's only been 3 days they've offered for, say, the week we're just in now, which apparently was because these were these kind of three floating days. But I saw that the unions last night were saying, well, you know, the Department of Education didn't come to us. Mm-hmm. But I think, why can't all the stakeholders just say, this is just, who's important here? And I do accept the anxieties, but if they're going to close the schools, and if they deem it remote learning, those are then days ticked off on a school calendar as being school days. And I don't think this is going to be sorted in 2 weeks. I mean, Leo Varadkar's saying any business should be prepared to be closed till March. And I understand the government's priority is to get the schools open. But it's not going to be. Are they going to be open in 2 weeks? And there's one other thing I want to say as well, Joe, about NPHET. NPHET have, I feel, been saying on the one hand schools are safe, and seem to be saying, and I'm open to correction on this, that it's about all the parents and the people
congregating,
going to
the one million march to school every day.
Well, I would say to Tony Holohan on this, children with special needs usually travel to school on a bus. In fact, we parents of children with special needs rarely get to meet the other parents. We don't know them. We couldn't put a face to them. We might meet them once a year at a school sports day, because we don't get to see them. They go to school on a bus and they're sanitized and masked, and then they come home.
And you say those protocols, when the lockdown was lifted, when the schools are reopened from September, for I know there was different circumstances, but when the schools were in different schools, when the schools were reopened, you're saying all those protocols worked, they kicked in.
As far as I know, there was only one outbreak. But what I'm saying, Joe, is this. Like, coming to NPHET, I feel that because Tony Holohan has said, on the one sense, they're safe, but then he mentions the other. I think, and I know, I don't know what he's thinking, but he's not a man that's shy of coming out and publicly saying what he wants to say.
Yeah.
So he has not said publicly, I'm happy for special schools to open.
Okay.
And as a result,
maybe he'll be asked, because...
Yeah.
Because
and
he's extraordinarily respected as well. That's the other thing. Stay with us, Alice.
Joe, one last thing, though. Okay. If he's not happy for schools to open, fair enough. But then all I'm saying is they should not be just going back to remote learning as a solution, because it is not a solution
for
our children.
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
Alice, stay with us. And I want to try and go back to Claire and Catherine at the start, because I moved through everyone quickly because I wanted to give everyone a platform. But now it looks like there's more people stacking up. So I'll try and give everyone a platform for a few minutes. Rory Kilfeder, good afternoon, Rory. What's your situation, your reaction when you heard that the special needs were going to be exempt from Monday and then the abandonment of it yesterday evening?
Well, thanks very much for having me on, Joe. Joe, there might be some background noise here because I'm actually in the car with my son at the moment, where I just got frustrated and I'd like to ring to support a lot of the other callers, people who are online. I suppose, Joe, like when the last lockdown happened, and when we were in March and April, and everybody coupled together and everybody rallied round, and the country was experiencing an unprecedented pandemic, mm-hmm. we, you know, everybody took it on the chin, and particularly kids with special needs. And then I suppose the government realised, and people realised that perhaps, you know, the one brush, you know, for everything did not work,
yeah.
and that, you know, schools should have been open. So we spent a lot of time liaising with the school. I'm on the Parents Association with the school that my son goes to. So there was a lot of back and forth with the principal and some of the parents about regarding protocols under which we would open. So we were delighted in September when they opened and those protocols were put in place. You know, we always feared that this day would come, Joe, where the pandemic would go beyond everybody's control again and that hospitals wouldn't be able to deal with the number of cases and that it may result in the lockdown. But we all clung to the hope that because we put all of these protocols in place, that they would see us through and that the children who have no options, you know, they don't have any other place to go. They go between home and school.
Mm-hmm.
That they would be considered, and it would be considered an essential service from them. So we were delighted when we felt that the schools were going to be given a separate, you know, dispensation.
Okay, and I know you're in the car, which is part of our difficulty at the minute, but I'm also conscious, and I know you've stopped the car, by the way, and I'm also conscious that you have your young child there. But so I'm going to help you with the point you're making, just for clarity, because it's so important. You say the system has worked for the 4 months, it will continue to work, nothing has changed in terms of the safe environment within the school, and you believe, again, you make that point again, we all bought into a safe school reopening protocol document when the schools reopened in September. So have you know, I presume, just again because of the line, Rory, has, which is an awful question to ask, and an awful question to have to hear and live with, has your son regressed because of the lockdown?
Well, to an extent, Joe, we're very lucky in that, you know, there's no two children with the same difficulties, and we're very lucky with Rory and how he's progressed in the school. But the fear is that there's, you know, a certain amount of wetting and things like this, issues start to arise, and he becomes more isolated and not as open. You know, so there are our fears, but it's not only the effect on Rory.
Okay, Rory, your line is completely gone, but your line is so weak, but your points are so strong, Rory. And stay safe, that's Rory Kilfetter. Niamh O'Donoghue, what's your situation, Niamh?
Hi, Joe. I have a son who's 8 years old with autism and intellectual disability, who attends a special school in South Dublin. And like everybody else, it's just, we're so disappointed that the schools aren't opening. Christmas was just horrendous. Like, there's nowhere to go with the child. He's really regressed. They were starting to potty train him. He's back in nappies now again. And just very disappointed last night that prime time, they had Norma Foley on, but really the real people who should be answering questions are the union. I know they have their concerns, but there's a lot of frontline workers and supermarket workers that don't have a choice in the matter. And our son just wails all day. He's just got nowhere to go. Just the nature of his disability, it's just unsafe to bring him out on his own.
Okay.
The respite centre was closed for the whole of lockdown. No school for 5 months. He's like jumping on the trampoline and crying all day long in the cold. And I mean, you know, they have a constitutional right to an education, mm-hmm. like every other child in the country, and they're just not getting it. It's just, I don't understand how it's legal. And I mean, a case should be taken about this to the High Court, because every other child is getting an education, whether it be online or whatever. You cannot educate a child with intellectual disability on the internet. I know it's cliche and you've heard all the platitudes.
Yeah.
It's
But Niamh, from your description and other parents as well, and this is the. So what? Okay, I understand totally, and people are so strong getting across. It's not just about education and in the narrow sense that we know it in our schools and exams. It's about life skills, but also for the parents, it's a few hours to regroup if you can, to do that every human has to do every day, be it work or whatever. But it's almost that the few hours in the school was a respite. Because once your child is at home, they, as we discovered from other callers as well, they need 100% attention, which is not true.
We need this respite. And as one woman put it very well in prime time a few months ago, like that she was more of a threat to her child than any coronavirus or any illness could cause. That, you know, she is just not able to cope and hear this so much. People just really don't understand. That lady had on earlier talking about the feces being smeared on the wall. That would be very commonplace for autistic children, you know, because they have all these sensory needs. And unless they're out of the house, you just have to follow them around. You can't do a recovery in the house. And some of us have other kids and they're really suffering as well. You know, we're just waiting to hear the respite centres are going to be closed. There's people I know with two autistic children who've no respite, no home support. All our clinical services are attached to the special school, like speech therapy, occupational therapy.
Yeah, of course. It's a gateway. It's a gateway to all those services as well. Stay with us, Niamh, and I'm going to introduce more parents. I'll go back to some of the parents who were on earlier after this break. 51551, watch on.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
We are talking to parents of children with special needs who've contacted us in their droves because of the decision last evening by the government to rescind, to do a U-turn, whatever you want to call it, on the decision to reopen classes for special needs students on Monday. Breda, earlier you told us you're a mother of twins, a 9-year-old girl and boy, both autistic and non-verbal with intellectual disabilities. The difference the lockdown made in their progress?
Thank you, John. Thanks for coming back to me. That's the main reason I contacted you guys is... I'm focusing on my son in this because it has affected him far more than his sister. I guess, you know, they're diagnosed with two. A huge amount of work from the early intervention team and from ourselves at home. I gave up my job. I resigned from secondary school teaching and I devoted all my time to studying and to reading and to learning. And I have more courses done in the last number of years at Hot Dinners. And my point is that everything went into these kids to bring them along. Yeah. We started at 2 years old where they're in little isolated bubbles of their own. And they, above anyone, worked the hardest to get out of those bubbles. And I always assume confidence with my children and we follow what they can do, not what they can't do. And we brought those kids, the school and their parents, brought those kids from being afraid to leave the house to going to school and be very happy. My little boy spent the first definitely 3 years, preschool 2 years and another year or two in primary school and in the special school, standing against the wall, crying. He cried when they had to leave the classroom. He cried when they had to go into another building. He went from that state to being a 9-year-old last Christmas, you know, January, February in school, being involved with his peers, playing with them or alongside them, taking part in circle time, group activity. He toilet trained himself pretty much in March. He decided, okay, I'm done with these pull-ups. He was eight, but he did it. And over the last month, I've seen a spiral of disintegration, of the little cratering going back into his head and into his isolation since last March. But over the last month, it would break anyone's heart to see the suffering that child has gone through. He has lost all his toileting skills, which he had absolutely developed 100%. Mm-hmm. And we went from a happy, self-contained beautiful little boy to a distraught, distressed, beautiful little boy who was actually admitted through A&E to hospital this week and put on medication for anxiety and overwhelm.
Oh my God.
That is the impact. That is why I'm on here, because it's okay to say special needs and days spent in school and how many hours the teachers work. I don't care. I'm thinking about getting through tomorrow. I'm thinking about taking that calendar down that we were circling days and counting down to school next Monday. I had to take it off the wall this morning. And what do I put up there, Joe? What do I do? I haven't even mentioned his poor sister, who's equally affected by all of this, mm-hmm. but she isn't showing it yet. Will I be also accessing A&E with her? I'm sorry to be so emotional about it, but it has been absolutely horrendous. And the most difficult thing is to see all the work that that little boy has done be stripped away from him. That's what their education means. It's not about academics. I do happiness surveys, and I do happiness and self-containment and smiley faces. That is my measure of their outcome from day to day and week to week. I don't give a hoot if he can spell. He can type in his iPad. He's a clever little man.
Yeah.
I don't care if he can write. I want him to be happy. I want him to be safe, but I want him to feel his worth. Do you think if any other child at the age of 9 lost all their toileting skills over the last 2 weeks, that we would all just say, oh yeah, but, you know, that's just part of life? It's not. It is absolutely mind-blowing, Joe, to look at your little kids disintegrate after all the work that they, above anyone else, did to get themselves to where they are today. And, you know, 1 week, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, the teachers' unions, I'm not getting into the politics of it, but I know for a fact that the minority of teachers and the minority of SNAs who work in special schools. Sorry, the minority of teachers are those who work in special schools.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
They are devoted. They're committed.
Yes.
Their voices are not being heard no more than mine. And I know from speaking directly with teachers and SNAs in our school that they want to go back to work on Monday. They have said that they cannot reach these children online. They can see the regression. And when the kids go back, we all highlighted it when they went back in September. Teacher, you are not getting the child back that you said goodbye to in March.
Okay.
Well, they certainly won't get the child back that they said goodbye to on the 22nd of December, in my case anyway. And I would never presume to speak for anybody else, only my own two, when they just are nonverbal and they cannot speak for themselves. And Joe, thank you for giving me the time to say that. It is against every fibre of my being to discuss my children's welfare or presentations on public airways. But when you're driven to the level of distraction that we have been driven to in the last 48 hours alone, I had to do something. So thank you for listening.
Okay, Breida, and every kindness to you and your family, if that's possible, and your beautiful, beautiful children. Lindsay O'Donovan is in Swords and in North Dublin. Lindsay, your situation,
Hi,
please.
Hi. How are you, Joe? Good. I have my eldest child is 17, nearly 18, and he is severely disabled. He's got a cerebral palsy. He's peg-fed. He's non-verbal. He's incontinent. I also have three primary school children as well. So, you know, to be fair, I was shocked when I first heard they were going back to school, but relieved, happy, nervous, a bit of everything. But I just couldn't believe that for once we were being heard and supported. And then for 24 hours later, I'm going through a mixture of pure anger, upset, crying, a bit of everything. It's just to be given that and then it pulled away. You know, we went through the first lockdown. It's a bit of a daze. It was a bit easier because it was summertime. And one thing, what that other caller was saying, it's so horrendous for me to speak about my child on air. Yeah. I love the bones of him. And to look for help, like you're begging for someone to help you look after your child, goes against every parent. No one wants to look for help from other people with your children. You want to be able to do it yourself, but there's only so much you can do. And eventually, we're going to burn out. And that's it. you know, there's only so much one person can do. Our son, he sleeps in the same room because he's nearly 18. We have a big room built for him. He won't sleep in it. So he's beside us in the bed, me and my husband. And we then have three small kids we've got to look after too, who are a great help to me, but it's not their job either. You know, so it's...
And when you say you were shocked when you heard the announcement that, that the exemption next Monday would be the majority, the vast majority of pupils and students would not be going back to school in the school setting. But you, when you say you were shocked that the
special needs were helping us out, to be fair, that they were giving us
a priority.
What
a priority.
Kids need, yeah, because in March, all my care stopped. We had, I get 9 hours care off the HSC. All of that stopped last March. School, HSC, everything. So I spent the time, like one of your other callers said, in the car, driving around.
Yeah.
He likes driving around. And that's what we were doing, to try and put in the hours. It's harder in the winter. Like, I was up with him 3 times during the night, changing him because he's incontinent. He's getting frustrated. I'm saying, you're going back to school. He's all happy. He's very intelligent. He's just needs absolutely everything done for him. But he understands everything. You actually met him once in his school and you talked to him. Everybody said you were very fond of him. He's just a happy kid. But this is knocking him. It's knocking us as a family. And it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, so we're kind of facing into the month of just not knowing again. Like, is it going to be January, February, March? No, we've no care coming in either. And it's just, it is really tough.
Okay, Lindsay, I'm going to move on, not because of the story has been told. It hasn't. You could talk all day, I'm sure, if you had that time, which you know you don't. But
I appreciate you taking my call. That's
our job, and every kindness to you and your family, Lindsay.
Thanks
indeed. Theresa Finn is in Mullingar. Theresa, your situation, please.
Yeah, my son is 8, and he has autism and intellectual disability, and he attends a special school in Mullingar, and I was relieved when I heard the announcement, like, that finally it was being recognised that our kids really, really struggled and just couldn't cope with another school closure, and that they were being prioritised. And I waited before I told him until we got an email from the school to say that it would be all opening, and he's been really not coping just with the Christmas holidays. He's asking for school every morning, and he's just stressed and just totally out of routine and just panicking. And I sat him down and showed him, like, that he only had like a few more days to wait, and I showed him Monday on the calendar and that his school was going to be open, and he was delighted and he kind of calmed down last night and he was relaxed. And then he's in bed, and I see on Facebook last night that I'm going to have to turn around now and tell him that that's not happening. And I'm so infuriated that they made that announcement without knowing for sure that it was definitely going to go ahead, because they've now made a liar out of me to my kid. He knows to trust my words. I don't lie to him. He has struggled so much with communication and to understand what's going on in the world. And I'm the one person he trusts. He's like, oh, if she says it's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I can trust her. I know what the story is. Like, but now I have to try and explain to him that it's not happening now, and he just can't cope with it. I've tried to explain to him a few times today, and he just keeps saying, open our school, make it a happy mouse day. Open our school, make it a happy mouse day. And it's worse because they told us that they were going to open it. If they had just said, like, we're not sure, we need a bit more time to, like, see what's going to happen. But they get false hope, and that is, like, the punch in the gut for everyone.
Okay, Theresa, thanks again. And your voice has been heard here. I don't know how in terms of the national station, but I don't know how the impact. But every kindness again to you and your family, Theresa, in Mullingar. Fiona is in Limerick. What's your situation, Fiona, please?
Hi, Joe. I suppose your last listener kind of said it all. It's just, I suppose, the way I feel now is I just feel that it was really cruel. I just feel what they're after doing to, you know, the kids and families is just absolutely cruel. They gave us hope that the kids would be going back to school. And my son is in Limerick in a deaf school in Limerick City. And, I mean, in fairness to everyone in that school, they were on board and going back on Monday. The principal had sent out an email. Everyone was on board. And I had told my son that he was going back to school. I'd done a visual scheduling. I'd explained to him that the SNA was coming on Monday, you know, to collect him. And then last night, it was all taken away. And now I have to go and explain to him that he won't be going back to school on Monday. And I know myself, from the last lockdown, he didn't do very well. You know, he regressed. He became anxious. He'd have sensory overload. He'd be flushing the toilets. He'd be flooding the place just to try and regulate himself because he couldn't cope. And he became very anxious. And, like, I just can't understand how the unions would do this to families when we're just, like, all we want is for our kids to be happy and healthy. As that lady, Breda, said, we just want the best for them. And school is a lot of their outlet. That's all they have.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, family members are trying their best. They have other kids in the house, and kids need structure. They need routine. Kids with autism. And I feel like it's been taken away from them now, and we're going down a really bad road if they don't get back to school.
After such a long, awful period as well. That's,
yeah, and like I can't say, like, the school that my son is in is excellent. They are brilliant. The teachers, everyone, they are brilliant. And I would never say anything bad about them, but I can't understand how the unions can control this and that the government didn't stand up and support our, you know, kids with special needs and their families. It's just very hard to take. And I think I'm a nurse myself, and I think that, you know, if people are at breaking points, especially, you know, families with special needs and kids, that they are at breaking point and they can't put up with this for much longer. It's very hard.
I understand, Fiona. Thanks indeed.
Yeah,
and kind regards, Fiona Limerick Moore. Parents and teachers after this break. Joe with RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I have many more parents of children with special needs who are deeply distressed by this U-turn that the special needs classes will not reopen on Monday. But I have some special needs teachers as well. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. And how are you? And what's your reaction to the decisions that have been made?
Well, constant surprise as it keeps flip-flopping. But ultimately, just really disappointed with last night's decision not to bring us in on Monday. We're just heartbroken for the students primarily and for their families for whom all of COVID has been a huge struggle. Christmas at the best of times can be a struggle being out of routine and now not knowing what to tell their children. I teach in a young special class. They would have just started school this year. The progress they made since September is phenomenal. These students are just amazing. And they're incredible in so many ways. And I just really fear both for their well-being and for the potential regression that's going to happen over this period now.
But Sarah, the unions would say we're doing it this for your safety. Well, for everyone's safety, but obviously they represent you. For yours, you pay them for your safety.
Yeah, and I would have emailed the INTO to let them know that this decision does not represent me. And to be honest, any of the special education teachers that I've spoken to have also been very disappointed. In fact, I've yet to hear anybody who's in favour of this decision. I don't think that the decision was made because of safety issues in special classes. It was a blanket decision that was made along with the Leaving Cert students. I think they're two very, very different situations.
Yeah, of course.
Leaving Cert students are potentially a class of 30 near adults for, you know, 40 minutes in a small area. You know, we're six students in a class with three adults, which is the size of a pod as it was dictated at the start of September.
And we, I know it's difficult, but Sarah, were you as a member of a union, were you consulted about this position?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay. So stay with us. Rita, good afternoon. I know you're a teacher as well, and you're an SNA in a special school. What's your reaction, Rita?
Well, like the other lady there.
Sarah.
We absolutely adore the children that we work with, and we have spent so much time totally, you know, even before COVID, we have spent so much time and energy and love that we put into our children every day. And to not have been consulted at all, and for rules to be made, you know, irrespective of our safety or needs, you know, it just seems ridiculous and so dangerous and irresponsible of the government too, you know.
And do SNAs have a voice?
Yes, well, yes, we do have a voice, very much so. But most of the time, it would really be teachers that would be discussed. But we have our own union, you know.
I know.
But
it's a union that it's not specifically. I'm sure it's a very good union, but not specifically a teach. Like, why aren't you in the INTO or the ASCI?
Oh God, that's a good question. I don't know, to be honest.
Well, you're not allowed to join.
No, and we are, like, we really, in the school that I work in, we work hand in hand, teachers and SNAs. You know, there is no discrimination whether you're a teacher or an SNA. We're a team, and that's the most important thing, I think, in a special education system. It's a team. Nobody is better or lower than anybody. We just get on with the job.
Yeah.
We do it with absolute love. And we could have found a way to make things safe, as we already did in September,
okay,
until December, you know?
Yeah. Oh, as an SNA, Rita, thank you all so much for what you do. And you don't get proper recognition on any level, be it from...
We don't need recognition. We get it from the children every day and from their families, you know. We don't do it for the recognition. We love them, and we love what we do, you know.
Well said. Well said. Thanks, Rita. Thanks, Sarah. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I have Sonia Webb in Mullingar. Sonia, your situation, please. And your reaction to the debate for the last hour and 10 minutes.
Hi, Joe. Well, I have a son who's 9 and he goes to a special school in Mullingar, a terrific, really wonderful school. And we were just so pleased when we heard that school was opening, because it's his whole world. He doesn't have anything else. You know, it's where he gets his therapies. It's where he has his little friends. It's where it's all he has. He doesn't have books. He doesn't have Xboxes. He doesn't have TV. He doesn't use an iPad. This is, you know, his whole world. And I just, all the other parents have probably said it better than I can, but I just can't believe that he's been abandoned like this again. I mean, the last lockdown was just horrific for him. You know, he lost all his skills. We're just kind of getting things back. And he's a beautiful little boy. And I feel so bad, you know, talking about my son like this on the radio. But it's just unbelievable that he can be abandoned like this again.
And that's your feeling, that they have been abandoned?
We're devastated. We're just heartbroken looking at him. I can see it already. I mean, the aggression that's in him that was never there before, it's heartbreaking, you know. He just doesn't understand what's going on, you know. He can't express himself, and he doesn't have great receptive language either. His understanding wouldn't be great. And he's in distress. And it's heartbreaking to watch it.
Okay, stay with us, Sonia, because I have Patrick McCormack, who's a school principal, a lecturer in special education, and a parent, as he tells us here in his call, of a daughter with autism and an intellectual disability. Patrick, good afternoon. What's your feelings on this decision?
Yeah, firstly, I think it's dreadful that we're in a position where where essentially, I suppose, you have various parties that are being painted as being pitted against each other, whereas I feel that this can actually be resolved quite quickly.
Okay.
And that I think, firstly, if there was an assurance given through our public health advisors that the new strain of COVID, with regard to the level of risk that it presents to school communities, that if there were assurances given that with particular measures that could be put in place, whether they're the measures that were in place prior to Christmas or whether there's any new additional measures that need to be put in, that if they were put in place, that there's not an unacceptable level of risk to students and to staff in school communities. Sorry, that's my daughter in the background there. For students and staff in school communities, that we could be open in a week with those assurances.
And the calls I'm hearing today, Patrick, are parents and lots more could go on, but the parents saying, could this group, relatively small in the overall population, the Leaving Cert, they can try it, they have the ability, and a lot, not all, I understand that, have the technology to do it from home, but could the special needs students be made the single exception?
Well, I mean, I believe so. Like, I believe that it is possible that with the right measures in place, because I think that with the escalating numbers of COVID cases over Christmas, I think that caused alarm across the nation.
And it
did understandably then cause alarm in school communities. And when you had word coming out, for example, that the contact tracing system couldn't operate as it had been operating before, because albeit whilst there was some kind of, complaints or maybe observations or submissions from school management that the contact tracing was a little on the slow side, there was assurances given to schools that this would be speeded up. When it was seen that, well, that the contact tracing system essentially would not be used for schools, that caused a lot of alarm because there was a fear that there would be a chronic escalation of cases. If it was a case that they were looking at reopening the special schools and the special classes in special schools, and indeed for those students with special needs attending mainstream classes, that they can come back into the school and get you know, in-person learning again, if they could prioritise a contact tracing system for schools in that context, you know, so for cases that are impacting on school communities into special schools for the staff and the students, if they could give that assurance as well, I think we would have the schools reopened for students with special needs.
Okay. Thanks indeed. That's Patrick McCormick, a well-known, not just a lecturer in special education, but actually a working school principal and a parent of a child with special needs. Natasha Williams, sorry for holding you, Natasha, in Meath. Your quick point, please.
Hi, Joe. How are you? First of all, I just want to thank you for giving all those parents a forum and a voice, because the last time we had no voice, and now there's a lot of anger out there with the U-turn that was done last night, and it's very upsetting. And these children should not be put into the same category as typically developing children in schools, because the majority of them can't do online learning or Zoom calls or anything like that. Yeah. It's like life skills. It's a completely different way of educating them. And the impact that it has on them, on their mental health, on the mental health of their parents and their siblings and everyone around them, I don't think anybody gets that. You know, it's awful for them. You know, the last lockdown was extremely difficult for all of us as a family, and for my son, Noah, who's 14. He's autism, ADHD, moderate intellectual disability, very few words, just words that would say he wants a shower or food or anything like that. He can't really verbalise how he feels or anything. So he expresses himself through self-harm and banging walls and not sleeping, and even his toileting regressed. So there's a lot that I could go on and on, and all the parents before me literally said how I'm feeling.
And this program could go on and on, Natasha. I feel cruel at this stage terminating this conversation, because I can see not just how much more you want to say, but the ladder of people behind you, the staggering number of parents behind you making the same point about this U-turn last night. Annette Egan produced, Kieran Cullens on sound, Maeve Mooney is our BCO, and Rebecca Meehan is the senior series producer, and Ray Darcy's next.